You know, it went through my head, should we do a different song? Should we do it? And I thought, you know what? No, it won't matter, because once you're turned off, unless you turn yourself back on, it ain't going to happen. So I want you to just lift up your hands right now, right where you're at, and I want you to begin to just praise God. I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to just glorify Him. Come on. Stir yourselves up. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Magnify the Lord. Come on. Give Him your best praise. Come on. Just worship Him. Just think about who He is and what He's done in your life. Think about what He's done for your family. How He's still working and moving in your family. Come on, that'll give you something to praise about right there. Think about how He's taken care of you in situations that you couldn't have handled yourself, but He was right there to take care of it with you. Come on now. Father, we bless You, we praise You, we honor You this morning. We exalt You this morning. We thank You, Father. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Now just give Him a big shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we'll pray. Father, we ask You to help us now, Lord God, as we look in Your Word. God, open up our eyes, open up our heart, that You get glory out of everything that's said and done. And we receive Your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Church, I'm telling you, we can be quiet if we want to, but the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, He wants to come out. He wants to express Himself, and He's got to do that through you. He's a gentleman. He won't make you do anything. Right? He's a gentleman. He won't make you do anything. But He will urge you. He will unction you to do things. And you can say no, or you can say yes. I promise you, when you say yes, it's a whole lot better. Go with me to the book of Habakkuk. And let's look in chapter 2 here. Habakkuk chapter 2. In verse 2 it says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Now, here Habakkuk is writing, the Lord speaking to him, telling him to write out this vision. And what I want to talk to us today is about God's timing. You see, you need to get a plan and stick with it. I got one right. See, here's the thing. You should have had a plan this morning coming to church. I'm going to go praise and worship the Lord. I'm going to go bless the Lord this morning. And I'm going to go get blessed this morning. And see, you ought to have that plan and just stuck with it today. But see, a lot of you came in thinking, gosh, I stayed up too late last night. I wished I'd have got to sleep a little longer this morning. And my goodness, I ain't going to get to rest this afternoon, because we're going to come back to the church again and we're going to, right? Come on now. You're thinking about everything you had to do except what's present. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he says that we need to get a plan. We need to stick with it. We need to write it down. Listen, you have to make a plan for your life and stay with that plan. And that plan better have Jesus Christ first in it. Amen. See, it's going to come to pass, but you have to just be able to be patient. Because once you make the plan, understand this, that the waiting is the hardest part. Come on now. But you've got to understand that the reward is what you're looking for. Right? Come on. Stephanie, you know, you've heard about Stephanie's dog enough. But I'll just, they trained it to where when it gets a treat now, they make it sit, and then they make it sit there until they say he can have it. Do you know what I'm saying? So they'll have him to sit. You're holding the treat, and they'll say, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. You know, and then they'll say, okay. And they'll give it to him. Well, the whole time they're saying, wait for it, you can just watch him flinching. You know, because he knows it's coming. It's going to be good. It's worth the wait. I'm waiting. And sometimes he gets a little anxious and raises his head up and they'll say, no. And you get right back down and wait. Listen, church, we need to be like that dog. We need to be waiting on God like that, be patient on God. We ought to be flinching, waiting for God to say, okay now. But you're not, most of the church is not. We're so busy caught up in the world and the things of the world that we're not really seeking after God or the things God has. Can I tell you, every good and perfect gift comes from above. God wants to give you good things. But you've got to understand, they're going to happen in His timing, and you're going to have to wait on His timing. See, a lot of times we get in a big rush and we start trying to do it for God. But God's timing is always perfect. Come on. His promises are all yes and amen through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child? What happened? Well, they got impatient. They didn't want to wait. And so Sarah offers Abraham her handmaiden. Now, you can raise up seed through her. And he does. And they have a child. But guess what? God's plan was that Sarah have that child. Sarah's child, Abraham and Sarah's child, that was to be the promised seed, not the seed from a maiden woman. And that's why we're having the problems we're having right now. Our Middle East troubles are all coming from the Ishmael. Come on. Israel's the Isaac. But all that trouble that you see from the Muslim neighborhood and all that kind, that's all stemming from the fact that Abraham and Sarah would not wait on the timing of God. And some of you got some things in your life that's messed up because you didn't wait on the timing of God. Some folks have got married when they probably shouldn't have got married if they'd have waited on the timing of God. Come on now. See, I know how that works. God's got a timing for us all, but we've got to make sure that we wait on His timing and do it when He says. Amen. See, it's all in the reward. It's all in the outcome, and that's what we're looking for. Now, you know, the Bible says, and I'll give you all know this scripture, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, "Cast not therefore your confidence, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you receive the promise." Now, God's given us all of His promises, but we're just going to have to wait on the timing of God. And I'm telling you, that's where the fight's at. And that battle happens in your mind, right? Come on. The fight is in the wait. You remember over in Genesis chapter 15, It's when God's got Abraham moving him out, and He's going to move him from place to place. And remember, He's told him, "Your seed will be like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless all of your descendants. You know, whoever blesses you is going to be blessed. Whoever curses you is going to curse you." You know, and God comes to Abraham there in Genesis, and he says, "What would you have me do for you?" And Abraham says, "Well, Lord, we don't have any seed." This is when the promised child's getting ready to come. He said, I don't have an heir, and the person living in the house with me, they're my kinfolk, but they're not my heir." And the Lord said, "All right, I'm going to give you an heir from you." And Abraham says, "You know, how do I know you're going to do that, God?" And God says, "You go start getting some sacrifices." And he got the bull and the lamb and the turtle doves and all that. And he cut them asunder, the Bible says, except for the turtle doves. And he laid them out there as a sacrifice to the Lord. God's coming to Abraham, and this is his sacrifice. It's prepared. But God didn't come immediately. And the Bible says, while Abraham's waiting on the Lord to come, he has to fight the fowls of the air off the sacrifice. In other words, the buzzards were trying to come and get the sacrifice. And Abraham had to keep the buzzards beat off the sacrifice because it was for the Lord. It was not for the birds. And so while he's waiting, he's fighting off an enemy. Can I tell you something? It's while you're waiting that the enemy comes to try to steal what you want to give to God. And so you have to make sure that you're there fighting off the enemy. You're fighting off the thoughts. You're fighting off whatever it is, the temptation, or whatever it is that you've made a commitment to God about. You need to fight that off. You've got to fight off sleep on Sunday morning. You've got to fight off tiredness on Wednesday afternoon. Come on. You fight off those things that are coming after to steal away what you want to give to God. See, some of you this morning, you missed it. You allowed your flesh to steal away from you that the worship that you needed to give to God because you were so tired because you had given yourself to the world to the point that you weren't able then to worship God the way you should. The way that you could just surrender yourself to Him and just worship Him because you just wasn't in the mood. You just didn't feel like it this morning. There's some times that we go to do something and we'll say, you know, I'm just not feeling it today. But you can't do that with God. Because it's not about feelings. It's about knowing that He is. And He desires us to worship Him. And so we have to be careful and we don't just cast away or we don't get discouraged or we don't give up just because it don't happen when God says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it don't happen in your time schedule. It happens on His. And just because it don't happen when we think it should, we shouldn't get upset. We shouldn't give up on it. We shouldn't quit. We need to keep pressing in because it's coming. Why? Because He's faithful that promised it. And see, that's where we lose it and that's where we miss it a lot of times is the fact that we get in ourselves and we get to thinking, well, I don't think it don't look like it's ever going to happen. I don't know how it could happen. How could it happen? Listen, He's the God of impossible. It don't matter what it looks like. Don't matter what you think about it. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. How? According to the power that's working in you through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, so God's timing is perfect, and a lot of times we're thinking He's late when God's saying, no, I'm not late at all. I'm just on time for you. It's you that have been impatient. See, understand, in our waiting, the Bible says we learn patience. Right? Isn't that what James told us? He says in the waiting, it gives us patience, but then it also creates a avenue for faith. To where we end up, James says, wanting or lacking nothing. See, waiting's a chance for you to increase your faith. Come on now, church. See, we live in such a microwave society that everybody wants everything right now. Come on, isn't that right? Come on. You know, we say we're going to diet, and we diet one day, and we go get on the scale. Come on, I've been there and done that, and I know you have too. You starve one day and because you're real hungry, you think, well, I've lost 3 or 4 pounds today. You know, you get on the scale, no change. Sometimes you get on the scale and you gained a pound. You talk about discouraging. You know, when your stomach feels like it's eating your backbone, you feel like you've lost 10, you get on the scale and you've gained 1, and you ain't eat nothing. How's that possible? Well, you know, sometimes it works that way. You know, you can't expect when you're waiting on God to be at your every whimper and whim. It'll be in the Lord's timing. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. See, so you have to wait on the Lord. You can't expect it to be just like that. You know, you can try. Sometimes you'll exercise and think, you know, well, I'm going to get myself toned up. You exercise one time and then you go look to see if you've got muscles. Right? Come on now. How many knows that's a process? Come on now. So you see, the same thing with our faith. We got to build our faith. And a lot of times that waiting is where our faith is being built because during the waiting period, that's when we ought to have that confession. I thank you, Lord. I've prayed. Your word says I can have it. I believe I receive it and I have it now in Jesus' name. And I'm not coming off of that. I'm not changing that. That's my plan and I'm sticking to the plan. Amen. You see, even though the doctor gives you a bad report, you declare the word of the Lord and you say, I'm not coming back off that, Lord. It's what your word says, and your word's forever settled in heaven. So it don't matter what the doctor said, don't matter what this said, no matter what that said. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to believe your word. Amen. I'm going to believe you till it happens. Amen. Come on now. I'll never forget Darlene Bishop talking about the fact that her breasts were rotting and falling off, bleeding in the sink, and she had breast cancer. And she looked in the mirror and said, "Devil, it don't matter if my breasts rot and fall off into the sink. I'm still going to believe God and still going to trust God, and He's my Savior, He's my healer, in Jesus' name." Guess what? She got healed. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because she refused to come down from the plan of God, which is by His stripes you were healed. But you've got to get yourself to that place where you realize, I'm going to go through some things. You think she didn't have thoughts hit her head? Just like you have. See, that's the fowls of the air coming to throw those thoughts. The devil, the wicked one, he'll inject things. Well, you're not. You're going to die. You so-and-so died with this, and you're going to die with this. He'll tell you everybody dies. He'll say this. He'll say that. Well, you know they was... No, it don't matter what they was. Don't matter what they did. You have the Holy One. You have the Healer. You have the Advocate. And He's on your side. And you have His Word on it. And as long as you stick with that Word, stick with that plan, it's going to be all right. It'll come to pass like the Word of God says it'll come to pass. But you can't back down. You can't waver. Amen. The same James that said you're building faith and you won't want anything. He says when you're asking, you got to ask in faith and nothing wavering. He said, because when you waver, you're like a wave of the sea. And he goes on and says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and don't let him think he's going to receive anything from God. Well, you ain't a double-minded man. Well, one that says to God, thank you, God, I'm healed. And then goes somebody else, listen, I'm feeling so bad. I'm in the awfulest shape that ever was. That's double-minded. Now, you may feel that way. But if you're going to stay single-minded, you're going to stay with the plan, then you just say what the Word says. I ask you how you're doing. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Now, you may be feeling bad. Come on. You may be hurting. Well, that's a lie. No, that's faith. The Shunammite woman, her son was dead. In the house, dead. And when she goes out to her husband to get a rider, she goes out there and she says, well, there she comes. There comes my wife. Go check, see if, go ask and see if her, it's all well. Gets to him, he says, what's going on? She says, I'm going to see the man of God. And he said, well, it's not Sunday. I'm paraphrasing, okay? It ain't Sunday. It ain't Wednesday. Why are you going? He said, she says, it shall be well. Just give me a rider. And so she gets a rider, takes him in there, as she's meeting the prophet's servant. He's asking her, is it well with you? It's well. Is it well with your son? It's well. He's dead, by the way. Is it well with your husband? It's well. Went right up to the man of God and said, you promised. You see, that was the promise from the man of God was the same as a promise from God. The same as a promise from the Word of God. Said, you promised me. Didn't you tell me? And she said, you're going with me. He said, go on up. And she said, no, you're going. And I'm not going, leaving here till you go with me. And he went in and he raised the boy from the dead. Why? Because she had a promise from the man of God that she would have a son. And she refused to let that promise die. Even though he died, she didn't lose the promise. Because she kept reminding the man of God of the promise. See, there'll be times, especially when you're believing God for some things, that the enemy will come in and it'll look like it's dead. It'll look like there's no hope in this thing. It'll look like you lost. But I'm going to tell you something. God is still God. Did you hear me? God is still God. And God is able to turn around whatever the devil has meant for bad and bless you. He's working all things together for good to them that love and serve Him. You have to understand that. But it's going to happen on God's timetable. It's going to happen in His timing. But you cannot back down. You cannot be double-minded. You have to continue to speak the same thing. You speak what the Word of God says. Amen. She spoke it, and it was. And if you speak it, it shall be. Amen. Why? Because you're children of God. You're children of faith. We have to be careful, though, that we don't let the devil come in there and mess with us. Start speaking the word. And it'll happen sometimes through a well-meaning person. You know, a loved one that wants... The worst thing I hate to see is when somebody's sick that believes God is for somebody to go in that don't really believe God. And try to... You know, they'll want to come in and pray for you. And they'll start praying, Lord, if it be thy will. Well, you don't need that person praying for you right now. I'm sorry, but you don't need that because the Bible says it is His will. So if they're praying, if it be thy will, then they don't know it is. So they're not praying a prayer in faith. They're praying a prayer in hope. And we're people of faith. Now, we do have hope. Thank God for that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But it's the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, it's fine to hope, but you've got to turn that hope into the point that you know you already got it. Come on. Hope is just the title deed, according to the Amplified. In other words, it says you already have the ownership of this, and then faith is the evidence of it. I've got it, no matter whether I can see it or whether I can't see it. You have to be that way. So when you're getting somebody, it's just crazy for you to get somebody to pray for you that don't believe like you believe. If they don't believe in healing and don't believe that God heals, then why in the world do you need them to pray for your healing? Right? I mean, you know, that's kind of like you having a heart problem and going to a brain surgeon. Right? Come on, he can help you with your brain, but he can't help you with your heart. You need to go to somebody that knows hearts. Well, you see, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You need to find people of faith. Come on, you need people of faith praying for you. People that believe in your healing. People that believe in your prosperity. People that believe in your well-being. People that believe God wants you to have an abundant life and God wants you to be blessed. Amen. I don't want to be around people that's all the time, you know, Debbie Downers. You know, just all the time down about things. You know, well, you know. I mean, our country's in bad shape, but our God's still God. And so I'm not going to get down about it. God's got a plan, and I'm just going to stay with God's plan. Believe God that no matter what, we still win. Amen. Well, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. You and I just got to get a plan, and we just got to stick with it. And in God's timing, it will come to pass. When it comes to pass, it'll blow people's minds. They're just like, I can't believe that. How could that happen? You know, it happened through faith. Everything you see here, when you drive onto this property and look at everything that God's done, it's through faith. It's not through ability. It's not through talent. Come on. It's through having faith and just believing God, and God has always done it. He's always brought it to pass. There have been some times that it's been right down to the wire. I've had Stephanie come to me and say, Pastor, you know, because she's the secretary, and when she comes to me with a church thing, it's Pastor, it's not Dad. Pastor, I don't want to tell you this, but finances don't look too good right now. We've got this and this and this and to pay, and we don't have the money to pay it. See, y'all don't get to see that part. Or didn't get to see that part, I should say it that way. And I just look at her and I say, God will supply. Just believe God with me. And she'd say, okay. Sometimes I wondered whether she was in faith with me or not. But she would see. Then all of a sudden, wham, here'd come finances. It was on God's timing. On God's timing. Thank God He's a God of the right timing. And I've seen it's happened more than once. You know, when you're establishing and starting out in the early times, there's things that, you know, and I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of expenses now. The enemy still attacks. Our old trash truck, snow plow truck, whatever, the engine's gone on that. So we've got to try to find us another truck to use for that, you know. But I'm just believing God that we'll find what we need to find so that we can use it. That's all we use it for, just haul off trash and plow this parking lot with. So it ain't like we need a big fancy truck. So far, all the trucks that we've used for that's been my old trucks. I need a new truck, baby. We will use that will last a long time back there. Don't y'all think I need a new truck? Yeah. See, they're in agreement. There you go. Oh, she's saying I chose a boat over a truck, I think is what she's saying. I can believe God for both. Amen. I'll get a plan and stick with it on that. How about that? Praise God. But no, see, God's always on time, church. And there's times that it looks, and I've heard Pastor Huffman, talk about the times before that they'd have lean times and they'd have to just believe God and wait on God and then it would come to pass. And it's the same way in your lives. There's times that you just have to wait and believe God because you're a tither and you're a giver. And if you're a tither and a giver, your finances cannot be held up. Did you hear me? It's coming. So you just stand on the promises. God will make a way when it seems like there is no way. Amen. And so you just wait on the timing of God. Now don't get me wrong. You can't have lazy faith. Can I just say that in God? You know, you've got to be willing. You know, if you're saying I'm believing God for finances and you don't have a job and somebody offers you a job, guess what? God just gave you a way to have finances. You know, it's not like somebody going, you know, and they can, but that's probably not the way God would do it, is to knock on your door, you know, and just give you a bag of money. That's not impossible at all for God, but He says, you know, that we're supposed to work and earn our bread. We're supposed to work and keep up our families because, matter of fact, He says, if we won't work and keep up our families, then we're worse than an infidel and we've denied our faith. You know, so faith, working's part of faith. Working's where you get seed from. And you sow seed, and when you sow seed, guess what you get? A harvest. Hallelujah. And again, that harvest is in God's timing, so never, never, ever give up your harvest. You believe God for that harvest till you get it. And it will come, it says. It'll come. It won't tarry. So we have to keep ourselves at the place to where in those thoughts and when we're thinking about this and talking about this, we have to be careful not let that enemy come in there, because the Bible says that you and I, we need to cast down imagination. Right? Casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into the captivity of the knowledge of the Lord. In other words, when that thought comes, well, you're not going to make it. So you have to catch that thought. And you bring it now before the Lord. And the Lord says, you're the healed of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that thought gets destroyed by the Word of God. Did you hear what I just said? No matter what the devil said, how did Jesus handle the devil? When he's on the mountain there, and he said, you know, why don't you command these rocks be made of bread? Well, it was a fact that Jesus was hungry. He'd been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. It was a fact that Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. But Jesus took what the devil said and turned it around. He said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You see, what he did there is he just put the devil's thought down with the word of God. And that's what you and I have to do. No matter what thought the enemy gives us, you have to put that thought down with the word of God. Come on. When the devil comes and says, well, you're going to go broke, you need to get that scripture out and say, no, it's the Lord that gives me the power to get wealth. Right? It's not the devil. I'm not going down. He said, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only. I'm the lender, not the borrower. Come on, see. You fight those thoughts with the Word of God. You cast down those imaginations and don't let the enemy win out on that. See, our faith in God and His Word, it's what gives God the power really to work in our lives. God loves us, and God's got a plan for us, and God wants to do good things in our life. But if we won't line up with the Word of God and have faith in the Word of God, God cannot do what He wants to do. I said He cannot do. Because God cannot operate outside of His Word. Right? His Word forever settled in heaven. He has to operate within the confines of His Word. So if you won't believe the Word, if you won't confess the Word, if you won't stand in faith on the Word, then God can't work in your behalf on that. No matter how bad He wants to give it to you, and you know He does want to give it to you, right? He wants you to have good things. Right? He wants you blessed. God will bless you if you get lined up with the Word. Now, when the blessing comes, it's up to Him. Again, it's in His timing. Right? And so we have to understand that. We need to have our faith in the Word of God, have our faith in God, so that He can move in our life. I'll hurry if I can. I started thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you start thinking about those guys, you know, they got favor. God gave them favor with Nebuchadnezzar, and they're actually in part of the princes and some of the high class there, even though they're Jews, because Nebuchadnezzar had seen God move through Daniel. And so here they are, you know, they're up there kind of in the hierarchy, and actually God's giving them favor and they're being blessed. And anytime you have favor and blessing of God, there's always going to be somebody that's jealous. So you might as well get ready for that. Somebody's going to be jealous of you. Amen. That's why they talk about you. You know that, right? That's why they say bad things about you, because they're jealous. You have something they don't have. Amen. So they're there, and King Nebuchadnezzar makes this big golden statue, and he commands that every time the music's played, you're supposed to bow down and worship that statue. And so when the music's played, the Hebrew boys, they don't bow down. And of course, those other princes that they're better than go straight to the king and say, "Didn't you command that everybody's supposed to bow down when the music's played to your son?" "Oh yeah, that's what I commanded." "Well, these three guys are not." And so he calls them in and says, "Maybe you didn't understand. You guys are supposed to bow when the music's played." And they just looked the king in the eye and they said, "We're not bowing down to your false gods. We don't bow down to any other God besides God, Jehovah." And the Bible says that he got so mad that his visage changed. In other words, I mean, he just so angry. They said, "You know, I'll just tell you this right up front. Whether God delivers us or not out of that furnace, we're going to still believe God." You see, because the king said anybody don't bow is going to get thrown into a furnace. He got so mad he had it turned up seven times hotter than what it was. And he says, "Your God's going to be able to deliver you now?" And they said, "Well, whether he delivers us or not, we're still going to worship him." See, that's the attitude you got to have with the devil. You know, because the devil will come in those little thoughts, those little things. "Now what are you going to do? How are you going to pay this bill now? What are you going to do about this doctor now? What about this situation now? Either way, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to be like they were." And the Bible says that when those guys started to throw them in the furnace, it burned up the guys throwing them in the furnace. They fell into the furnace. They were bound hand and foot. Their clothes was on them. Everything. They didn't take it. They just fully clothed, throwed them into the furnace. And the king ran over there and he said, "Didn't we just throw three guys in the furnace?" "Yeah. Well, I see four men in there walking around, and one of them," now get this, "one of them looks like the Son of God." How did he know it was the Son of God? I'll tell you how he knew it was the Son of God. It wasn't the little lowly Jesus, you know, with his shepherd's stiff staff and the carpenter. No, when he looked into the furnace, he saw the Son of God with all of his radiance and all of his beauty and all of his power in there. And he said, "Come out of there, boys." And when they came out of there, the Bible says that there was not even the smell of smoke on their clothes. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Listen, anybody says a word against their God, you'll be cut to pieces and you'll be thrown into the furnace." You see, they stayed with the plan of God. They stayed faithful to God. And even though they were thrown into that furnace, God still delivered them. You see, we understand that the Old Testament is written for examples to us, to encourage us. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Same kind of deal. Daniel's up there. He's top notch. He's actually the king. Darius is thinking about putting him over everything. And there's jealousy once again. So those that were jealous went to King Darius. And you know, kings tend to have a little bit of pride. You know, so they go to the king and they say, you know, you ought to make a decree that for the next 30 days, nobody prays to anybody besides you because you're like a god. And the king said, oh, that sounds like a wonderful idea. They said, let's make that in the form of a contract to where it can't be broken no matter what. And he said, well, sure. And he signs the thing. The Bible says that as soon as Daniel knew it was signed, he went straight to his room and began to pray to God. Those guys that were jealous knew that Daniel was praying three times a day, and they came up there and they caught him praying, and they brought him before the king. Didn't you say that anybody prayed to any other god, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den? That's what's written. They said you can't break what's written because it's the law. You can't break that. Now the king loved Daniel. He really liked him because he had done great things in the kingdom for him. He had interpreted dreams. He was better in the kingdom. And so he didn't want to do that, but he could not break his word. And so he had them throw them in the lion's den. The Bible says that all night long he fasted. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. And he was just waiting for the next morning. Next morning, he runs out there and he says, oh, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? Daniel says, don't worry about it, king. I'm all right. God has sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. When he rolled him out of there, he came out of there, he wasn't harmed. And King Darius once again said, his God's the true God. And from now on, we're just going to worship him. And you guys that were jealous and you guys that caused him to be thrown in the lion's den, you and your families, your wives and your kids are going to be thrown in. And the Bible says when they threw them in, the lions were so hungry that they had them tore to pieces before they ever hit the bottom of the pit. Now, you see, you could say, because skeptics would say, well, the lions weren't hungry. That's why they didn't bother Daniel. No, they were hungry. But he believed in a God, the God of the impossible, the God that delivers, the God that saves, the God that heals, the same God we believe in. And because he believed and did not change his belief no matter what, I'm going to pray to you, my God, not a false God. I'm not going to bow down to any king. I'm going to bow before my Jesus. Because he stayed with that plan, he was delivered from the lion's den. See, God will deliver you from things like you just wouldn't believe if you'll just trust him and wait on his timing. Right? Thank you, Lord, for your timing. You're always on time. Now, I've got a lot more that I could do, but I just feel like we're just going to stop right there. Because I want you to just get a picture right now of God taking care of you. If he delivered them from the fiery furnace, if he delivered Daniel from the lion's den, no matter what it is the enemy's trying to do to you right now, he will deliver you if you trust his word and believe in him. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Every head bowed. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We know that you are the God of impossible. We know that you are the God that saves, the God that heals, the God that blesses. And Father, we thank you today that we're serving you, and our plan, our vision is to continually serve you, Father, until you come. Lord, we'll be here to do what you'd have us to do as your body, as your children. And we just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you saved us. Thank you that you forgave us of our sins because we believed in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, we know because of that we're on our way to heaven. And we give you glory for that. And Father, I pray if there's some here today that don't know that, if they've never been saved, or maybe they need to rededicate their lives because they've walked away from you, I thank you, Father God, Lord, that today can be a new start for them. And I just give you glory, and I pray that you give them strength to come forward and to rededicate or give their life to you for the first time. Lord, we just praise you for that. Thank you for your drawing power right now working in this house in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in this place right now and that's where you're at, if you've never been saved or you need to rededicate your life, we want to give you an opportunity to come. We want to pray with you. We're not trying to embarrass you. We just want you to know that you're on your way to heaven. If you can't say, I know I'm on my way to heaven, come. Just come. He's the God of forgiveness. He loves you. He made you. And He let Jesus die for you. Anybody else need to come? Everybody satisfied? You know that you're